How gentle God command, how kind His precepts are. Come cast your burdens on the Lord, and trust His constant care. His bounty will provide, His saints securely dwell. That hand which bears creation up will guard His children well. Why should this anxious load press on your weary mind? Oh, seek your heavenly Father's throne, and peace and comfort find. His goodness stands approved, unchanged from day to day. I'll drop my burdens at His feet and bear a song away.
My brethren and I wish to greet you, each one, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I wish to stand and testify to you today that indeed God the Father sits on the throne. He always has and He always will. And His Son Jesus Christ stands at His right hand. He always has and He always will. And brothers and sisters, we've made it through another week. Some of you come bearing great burdens. Pains, suffering, sorrow. Some of you come rejoicing. Rejoicing in life, rejoicing for the blessings that God has given to you. But rest assured that He is mindful of each one of you. I know that for me, the past couple of weeks have been a struggle. And I feel that I have walked through that valley of hopelessness and even depression. But I find myself emerging from the other side. And I think oftentimes we look up here upon the men who occupy and perhaps we don't know that about them. And it's a very personal and intimate look into my life. But I feel that it is worth sharing to know that all of us struggle. All of us walk through those valleys. And sometimes we doubt, sometimes we fear. And perhaps sometimes we have no hope. But I want to stand and testify to you that there is a reason to hope. There is a reason to rejoice. And the first hymn which we will sing is a beloved hymn. And I've always been taken by the word Ebenezer in that song. And I know that it's been shared before, but I wish to share it again, that the word Eben means stone. Ezer is help. Those are both from the Hebrew. And in the book of Samuel, Israel had lost the ark. It had been reclaimed. And yet they wandered and they still, for 20 years, languished. And Samuel told them that if they would make sacrifice, if they would fast and repent, the Lord would deliver them. They gathered to the valley of Mizpah to do this. And as they did, the Philistines sought occasion against them. the lords of the Philistines went up to battle against them, and when the people saw it, they feared. And they asked Samuel to cry unto the Lord yet again for them. And he offered a sacrifice. And in doing this, the Lord sent a great thunder. And it said it discomfited them. It confused them. And the Israelites took the Philistines. And after that battle, Samuel raised an Ebenezer. He built an altar to commemorate that. And so, brothers and sisters, in your life, do you have a reason to raise an Ebenezer? Has the Lord fought your battles for you? Has He delivered you from the enemy once again? Perhaps right now you feel that you are in the middle of that war and you fear as the Israelites did. And you know, we're told to stand still and to see the salvation of our God. And so, brothers and sisters, I would commend to you this day our brother Ed. We know him well. We know that he lives a life of service, not only through the church, but in his vocation. And I believe and I know that the Lord has the words of eternal life for each and every one of you this day. And that the Lord desires you. He desires you to come unto Him. He desires you to come unto Him and to lay your burdens down, that He might deliver you this day from that army which surrounds you and seeks to destroy you. And so, brothers and sisters, would you think on these things? As an opening scripture, I desire to read to you from Hymn 323. I don't know the tune, so if I speak it out of tune, I apologize. Hymn 323. Father, hear the prayer we offer. Not for ease that prayer shall be, but for strength that we may ever live our lives courageously. Not forever in green pastures do we ask our way to be, but the steep and rugged pathway may we tread rejoicingly. Not forever by still waters would we daily quiet stay, would we idly quiet stay, but would smite the living fountains from the rocks along the way. Be our strength in hours of weakness, in our wanderings be our guide, through endeavor, failure, danger. Father, be Thou at our side. Amen. Thank you.
dear God in heaven, Lord, I come to you now at the start of this thy service, and at the time that we set aside, that we may once again remember you and to hear thy words that you have placed upon our brother Ed specifically today, Lord, that we would understand thee, what you are trying to speak to us, Lord, that we would be able to understand and open our ears and our minds, that we would be able to take those words that you would have for us and to tangle them into our lives, that we would be able to understand and use those for the betterment of thy kingdom through your people, Lord. And we thank you for the beauty of this day and the opportunity once again to meet your spirit here. And I would pray that everybody that has done so, that they would to feel the love that you have for them, and knowing that you have brought us to this point in our lives, Lord, that we would be able to support one another and to love thee and to understand thee, that we would be able to fulfill that world that you would have for us to be in, that thy kingdom would come on this earth. And we just once again would pray that you would bless our brother Ed, that you would enlighten him, and that he would be in tune with you, that you would give us that which we need today. And we pray these things in thy most precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Great to be here. I'm proud to be here. I'm humbled. So many times in my life, I've taken things for granted. And it's wrong. We're busy. Everybody's worrying about everything that's going on. But you stop and think about the basic things that our Lord has bestowed on us, like our home, the roof over our heads, food on the table, our clothing, just clean water to drink that a lot of countries don't have, and a bed to sleep in that some people don't have. Many times I've seen in my travels when I was working, a lot of times it was at night, and you run into situations where you see homeless people. One that really stuck out my mind, and still I'll never forget it, was a situation where late at night, probably 20 degrees cold, and there was it's an industrial area, but I couldn't see the people underneath a stairway that went to a second floor on a building. And when I left, the lights of the truck shined on them, and it was a man, his wife, and maybe like a 10-year-old child out in this. And that's all they had. And never will forget that. And they was huddled under that just to keep out of the weather and trying to stay warm. So there's just so many things that we see that we should be concerned about. And anyway, and it brings me to the 21st chapter of Luke, first through the fourth verse, and it's an old one, and you probably all know it by heart, but it really fits the situations that we have. And he looked up, and he saw the rich men casting in their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in hither two mites. And he said, "Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they will all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her pantry hath cast in all the living things that she had." Pretty humbling, isn't it? Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all the wonderful blessings you have given us. and our church family to get us through some tough times that we look up to, and bless this offering that we're about to give, and bless those that can and those that cannot, and their heart is still tuned to give. There's many ways that can be given in the service to God. We pray that you will bless the hands that count this money and put it in the right places that it's supposed to go. All these things we ask in your holy name, Jesus our Christ. Amen.
For a scripture reading, I would share with you out of the book of Moroni, chapter 10, starting in the middle of verse 14. All these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away. Even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Wherefore, there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith, neither can ye if you have no hope. And if you have no hope, ye must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. The Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh, that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief.
Gentle heart.
To greet you in the name of Jesus Christ and count it all joy that we find ourselves in his house to come together and consider things of high regard, that we might grow closer together and how we can see how he touches our lives individually and collectively throughout time. I thank you, Jared and Amy, for your ministry, and Sherilyn, thank you so much for all that you've continued to do in your piano ministry. You know, as I pondered about this desire that we have to have hope, and at times, if you're like me, hope might seem to slip away or just outside of our grasp. And it might seem at times that we find ourselves in the trials of life that it can be very difficult. And that's natural, I would think, as we are in the flesh. And oftentimes, I think, as we consider our sacrifice of love, as they had just sung about in that hymn, that we think that life should be easy. And then maybe it's just me, but at times I want all those trials and then those troubles of life just to not be in my life. And so I share with you by way of understanding that you and I don't necessarily get to escape all that, but I do want to make sure that you understand today that there is a promise of hope, a promise of hope of salvation, regardless of the trials and the concerns that you find in your life even now. We find these words in the book of Romans, chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. See, we are promised to have this strength in Jesus Christ in the midst of tribulation. And I have yet to been perfected to find that tribulations of life that I find ease and comfort. But I do find, if you're like me, that it's an opportunity for me to search. It's an opportunity for me to search for light and truth. When darkness comes your way, the darkness of the world, And I found it interesting today in Sunday school, a couple of my the verses I had prepared were used, and I count that as a testimony in our united effort to be kingdom building. But you know, I just mentioned to you about this desire personally to have a personal walk and relationship with the Lord, and to not be troubled by the temptations and the tribulations of this world. But as mentioned in Sunday school, we saw this last week where many physical artifacts of the church have been handed off to another body of people. And we can find that even the church at times we find should be a place that we should not have trouble. And I want to share the scripture with you to allow you to know that the things that we see and the troubles that we find in our life, in the church, and in the world should not catch us unaware. From section 105, starting in verse 9, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, darkness covereth the earth, and gross darkness the minds of the people, and all flesh has become corrupt before me." And then at the bottom of that same verse, and a whirlwind, it shall come upon all the face of the earth, saith the Lord, and upon my house shall it begin, and from my house shall it go forth, saith the Lord. First among those among you, saith the Lord, who have professed to know my name and have not known me, and have blasphemed against me in the midst of my house, saith the Lord. Now here is our answer. Here's what we are calling for you and I. Therefore, see to it that ye trouble not yourselves concerning the affairs of my church in this place, saith the Lord, but purify your hearts before me. And then go ye into all the world and preach my gospel unto every creature who has not received it. And there is our marching order. There is a marching order of the church. Trials come and uncertainty sets before us, and we look for those answers of life in this world, and we find them not. We look for the answers of our Father in heaven, and they become relevant and they're made known to your life and mine. So we have this promise of salvation. We have the certainty to know that trials and tribulations are coming into your personal life. We've been told through Scripture that even in the church that we're going to have troubles, and the darkness of the world will start with the church and go out. And he's, you know, before there's that great gathering, I still think there's some scattering. And we have an opportunity for this to take these words wherever we might find our lives to bring the truth of Jesus Christ in the lives of others, and that we be instruments in his hands. We find these words from 1 Peter that we have opportunity to see that this isn't only in Doctrine and Covenants that we're told this, but we find it in 1 Peter, going to be chapter 4, verse 17. Here we see that the Lord reminds us, says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" You see, we have the privilege to know that in the midst of this turmoil, the midst of trial, the midst of uncertainty, that we have the promise of salvation, the hope of tomorrow, the hope of a better tomorrow, the hope that we might have a life and a life more abundantly through Jesus Christ. From Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, I've selected various chapters that might draw your attention to a couple points. You know, we see in the world today wars and rumors of wars. We see Israel in a perpetual war. I would say even maybe a never-ending war. And we can see the wars in this land, in this country, and we can see rumors and more to come. But I want to express to you about another war, a war that's much more important in your life, and I would urge you to think much more important in our lives together and united in the bonds of Jesus Christ. From verse 7 of 1 Peter, we find these words, "And now I see another law, even the commandment of Christ, and it is imprinted in my mind, but my members are warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And if I subdue not the sin which is in me, but with the flesh serve the law of sin, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, then that so with the mind I myself serve the Lord." You know, there's a little saying I have. I keep it in the back of my scriptures. And when we're talking about the thoughts in our mind in these times of struggle and turmoil, they can kind of start to grow root in our mind and have a place in this war of sin that's in your life and mine. And it's titled "It Matters." Be careful what you think. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your action. Your action become your habits. Your habits become your character. Your character is your legacy, and your legacy is your destiny. And it all started with a thought. Guarding our thoughts and our minds of sin and this war that we have of the flesh, the selfishness that's in our DNA, we know that this war is a winnable war, one that has already been won on the cross of Jesus Christ and His atoning love for His creation. And we know that by doing so, we can entrust Him to have full sway with our heart and our mind, that and He will allow us to have strength to have a mind of Christ. But it takes men, and I would say women, to stand up for that which is good by the measure of Christ. And I particularly call out to those men that might stand and take their station. From 2 Nephi chapter 1 and 36, "Arise from the dust, my sons, and be men, and be determined in one mind and in one heart, united in all things, that ye may not come down into captivity, that ye may not be cursed with the sore cursing, and also that ye may not incur the displeasures of a just God upon you unto the destruction, yea, the eternal destruction of both soul and body. Awake, my sons, put on the armor of righteousness, shake off the chains with which ye are bound, and come forth out of obscurity and arise from the dust." I looked up obscurity. I use it all the time, but I wanted to make sure. It means to come out of the darkness, to come out of ambiguity, to understand that darkness is all around us and we are to come to the light of Christ. Continuing on, it says, "Rebel no more against your brother, whose views have been glorious and who have kept the commandments from the time that we left Jerusalem, and who have been an instrument in the hands of God in bringing us forth into the land of promise." And that is what the Lord would like us to do, is to be brought forth into that land of promise through His Son, Jesus Christ. And yet we find that this war of sin that is ever raging as long as we are in the flesh, God loves us so much that He tells you and I how it is that the adversary is going to work in and amongst His plan. And this plan is a subtle plan, as we are told in Alma chapter 9 and 5. It says, "We know that thy plan was," speaking of the adversary, "we know that thy plan was a very subtle plan, as to the subtlety of the devil, for to lie and to deceive this people." And further down it says in 8, it says, "I say unto you, all that this was a snare of the adversary, which he has laid to catch this people, that he might bring you into subjection unto him, that he might encircle you about with his chains, where he might drag you down into everlasting destruction, according to the power of captivity. And see, Jesus Christ gave us the power to break the bands. He broke the bands of death through his resurrection. And through Jesus Christ, you and I too have the power and authority through Christ to break the power of sin in our life. And I can testify to you personally, I think back to those Israelites, and you remember when they're in the wilderness, and they put that bronze serpent up on a pole or a stick. And they were told that those that were bitten by that serpent had to look to be healed. And brothers and sisters, friends alike, I can testify to you, I have felt that venom in my life. I have felt that bite. And I have felt the poison start in my body. And I, in a personal way, knelt down the side of my bed, and I, like little Zacchaeus was, I changed my position so that I could get closer and find a way to see God in the midst of that blindness and the darkness. And there, it wasn't immediate for me, but it was a process of seeking him out, that I might keep an eye single to his glory, that I might look to Jesus, that I might see that even though I felt that cancerous, that poison of sin that was trying to find way into my life, it was nothing of me, it was the Lord's mercy that he worked to remove that from my life. And I would submit that to you, that those that might find at times of uncertainty, times of the adversary trying to find a subtle plan in your life, trying to set a snare, a trap, if you will, to get you and I to in lack of better words, take the bait, because it looks appealing. Maybe it's an escape from the trials of the world. Maybe it's just you're tired. But he has prepared a way through Jesus Christ. And if we would look unto him, that venom of the adversary would have no power and no sway in your life. You know, this, have you heard this before from my mouth and from others, I'm assuming? I write in my margins. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but it reminds me. And I title this The Devil's Playbook. You know, the adversary loves you and I so much that he's going to tell you how the adversary is going to come after you. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we get the trials that come into our life, and if you're like me, I get frustrated with that. But yet if I look in the Scripture, he tells me exactly what's going to happen. He tells me the plays the adversary is going to use. And I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the Lord giving us these things. 2 Nephi chapter 12 and 23, you can find these words. And it says, "And the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with their everlasting chains and be stirred up unto anger and perish." So here's the first play. "For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good." Play one is rage and anger. Play two, we heard in Sunday school. I didn't stop Steve. I knew, trusted, I let him carry on this thought. "And others he will pacify and lull them away into carnal security. And they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And the devils will cheat at their souls and lead them carefully down to hell. And others he will flatter with away and telleth them, there is no hell. He saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none." That was play three. And the last one, "He whispereth in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chains." But there is an escape from these chains, saints. There is a way that we might find refuge from this turmoil, from this life that we find ourselves in, this opportunity that we can grow even in the midst of these trials. From 1 John chapter 1 and 8, it goes on to say, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all ungodliness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And those are strong words for me to read. They're even stronger words for me to hear. But he has provided this pathway in which he will give you and I an escape. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and 13 says there's no temptation to come to man that he's not provided a way for us to escape. You and I have the privilege to know that through Jesus Christ, we have liberty, we have freedom, we have hope, and we have tomorrow. And not only tomorrow, but we have eternity, because he's prepared those things that we might grow in and through his love for you and I, for all his creation. You know, this is a very interesting capture. I think we've been told many times, we heard it in a funeral service on Tuesday for a sister, Dorothy, but this time of life is a time to work out our probation. It's a time in life that we might grow closer to God. It's a time in life that we are told in the Book of Alma to experiment upon my word, to experiment upon how God works in your life. If you're like me, I become complacent. I become pacified by the world, and I can become all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And I don't want to be led down to those captivities of uncertainty, but I want to be promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ in the lives of the people in any way I can, even in my sinful state. You know, that hymn we so often hear, look for the beautiful, look for the true. Look for the sin. It says, look for the beauty embedded in sin. And I'm probably getting that wrong. The jewels embedded in sin. You know, even in the midst of sin, I would commend to you to consider that there are jewels embedded. And for me, I would also encourage you to think that embedded sin would be to see that out of the backside of that sin, that the arms of mercy, the arms of Christ continue to be outstretched into your life. That you recognize, even in the trials, even uncertainties, that Christ's arm never fails. And therein lies the beauty, to know that his love prevails the temptations and the trials of this world. You know, that Jesus spoke these words to the disciples, and I found it very interesting. You know, he walked with the disciples, and he was in the deepest ministry with some of them. But these words can confound my thoughts on what it is on this probationary state that we find ourselves in. You know, we get to a point in our life, I'll speak to myself. I get to a point in my life that I feel comfortable, that I have accomplished something enough. I'm better than that person. That person is not my measuring stick. We're told in Amos chapter 7 that there is a plumb line set amongst his people. And that plumb line is straight. And that plumb line is Jesus Christ. If we measure a life upon anything, it must be Jesus Christ. Not that I'm better than the person. At least I'm not that bad. Lord wants us to focus on Christ. To focus on what's straight. Focus on what's true. But here he speaks to his disciples. And these words from Luke chapter 22 and 32, it says, and think about this, they've been out doing the work in the gospel. And he challenged their conversion. He said, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ hath forgiven you. And he goes on in Luke 22 and 32, where he says, turn to that. He said, once you are converted, then go forth and convert others. You see, here he was, the disciples that had been, you would think that they had been converted and they had done all that's been asked of them. But here he says, once you are converted, then go forth and convert others. You know, I can't say I fully understand to what level of conversion the Lord needs us to convert our life. But I would present to you a consideration that if we would turn to him and allow his work to go in and through our lives, that He will strengthen us and He will hold us up. And even as was mentioned in in class today, it was mentioned in Justin's opening remarks, there is an obligation for us in the midst of this conversion experience is to stand in times of endurance. Ephesians chapter 6, we teach our children, you and I read it from time to time, it's a whole armor of God. Put on those seven pieces of armor, praying always, it says, praying always that we might be actively involved. For what purpose? Why does God want us to put on the armor of God? There is a reason. It says, Brother Mike Esso, he mentions a lot about word. He likes to look at words, and these words were originally just all put together without paragraphs, without punctuations, and that was broken up for our ease, I would guess. But it's interesting, you find in the middle of this armor of God, he says something that's very interesting. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand, therefore. Why does it need to have stand back to back? I would present to you, as from my study, my understanding is that is endurance. When you and I stand for the cause of Christ, for the cause of the kingdom, and we stand and we feel like we can stand no longer, what's He ask us to do? To continue to stand. To stand fast. To have faith believing that through Jesus Christ, that the trials of life will strengthen you, will cause you to draw into deeper wells through Him, that you will know Him in a more intimate way. And so praying always, this armor is to be taken on for what purpose, as I started to allude to? It says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mysteries of God, the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in the bonds. Are you and I ambassadors? Putting on the whole armor of God? My error was I thought the whole armor of God was for me. As I've come to try to understand that whole armor of God is for the people I speak boldly to, that I might go out and have boldness because of the armor. And in having that boldness, I can speak those words of love and truth and light into the lives of others. Not because I'm light, that I might be blessed to have some degree, even a small portion of the Spirit, that He might use me for good in some way I don't understand. You know, and there we find that being placed in an opportunity to share with others is an honor and a privilege. Though at times it might seem as a burden, I would ask once again that those thoughts in our mind would not lead us away from the privilege it is to stand and speak of God's goodness and His mercy and His love for His creation and the promise of eternal life through the salvation of His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, in 2 Nephi chapter 13, we find these words, to endure. He said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man endure to the end, in the following example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you, I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. In doing this, we are given the strength to stand and endure to the end, that we might have the hope of Jesus Christ, and that we might see His arm revealed, His revelation revealed in our life. From the book of Ether, chapter 5, wherefore whosoever believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. Now, reminded of how it is that we're told that this charity is so important in your own life and mine. In the book of Moroni, chapter 7, we can see a portion of that, talking about endureth. It says, charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up. And it goes on to those words that many of you, if not all, would be familiar with. But these words I continually go back to, where it says, wherefore cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with him. And saints, that is my prayer, that you and I might be found possessed of this charity, meaning we are unable, we are captive to the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost, that it has full power in our life. That we find that we're not able to not do good. That we might find that in doing so, we can expound the gospel of Jesus Christ into the lives of other people. And I know for my family and I, we count it a privilege to be yoked up with you. And I would like to end with this. It's encouraging to know that though the trials of life might come into your life, might come into different congregations around the land, I can assure you through the scriptures, and some of which I've shared this morning, that Jesus is the Christ. And no trial or no uncertainty is going to change that. Jesus is the Christ. When you can't see your next step in life, Jesus is the Christ. When you're not sure how the Lord's church is going to accomplish the mission that's set before them, Jesus is the Christ. When you're not certain if you have a work to do, you're not certain what your value is, what's your full measure of your creation, and you stand in doubt or uncertainty, Jesus is the Christ. And I trust that that assurance to know that Jesus is the Christ might uplift you today, that you might be strengthened to know that his love abounds in many trials of this life. And I continue to thank you for your patience and your teaching of my life through your acts of kindness, that you're seeking out in steadfastness and your endurance. It's a testimony for me to be steadfast in my faith. I look forward to continuing our service together. Dear Heavenly Father, God Almighty, Lord of all, I pray a benediction over this service, Father. I pray that we hear your Son knocking at the door, and that we stand and we open that door, Lord, and we let him in. Father, I thank you for letting your Son see beyond the cross, and that he saw the salvation that he would bring. Father, I thank you for your overwhelming love for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for my brothers, my brother Ed with his message today, and all the prayers and all the praise. But I hope it was pleasing to you, Father. For we come here because we love you. And we're trying to give you back some of that overwhelming love that you give us all the time. Lord, as these trials and tribulations come into our lives, I pray that we will all keep our eyes focused on your Son, Jesus the Christ. And then we will all share our testimonies of the miracles that you still perform in our lives every day. Help us to be of good cheer. Help us to share. Help us to go and share with the example that your Son Jesus gave us. Help us to stay in the gospel. Thank you for all the scriptures. Thank you for your still small voice. And I thank you most importantly, Lord, for giving us the same Holy Spirit that you gave your Son. It's in his name I pray, the name above all names, our Lord and Savior, the author and the finisher of our faith, which is Jesus the Christ. Amen.